Boy, I started talking, y'all all started talking. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be here tonight, right?
Amen.
I'd rather be here in Holland Hay. I don't know about the rest of you. Glory to God. God is good. All right, all right, all right. Praise God. Thank you, Keith. God is good so much, so much. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be together. Father, may we always be aware of the preciousness of your presence and of each other. This room is filled with the family of God, brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, compactly joined together to do the work of the ministry, the work of Jesus. So, Lord, tonight as we adventure into what you have for us, we ask, Lord God, that you open the doors of our understanding, our revelation, and our hearts, that we may hear and see and know you in your fullness. We give you praise for all this. Thank you, Lord, for all the miracles you've done for us this week, and you're going to do tomorrow and the rest of our lives. Lord God, we're excited about our future because you are our future. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Announcements, I only have one. The Bowmans will be here October the 13th and 14th. That's a Sunday and Monday night at the tent. So I think there may be some handouts back there. If not, I have some. And so be sure and spread the word about the Bowmans. It's going to be a great, great time. At the tent. Everybody say at the tent. I can't guarantee this, but I do believe it's going to be a little cooler in 2 weeks than it is right now. So, hallelujah, everybody. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's going to get cooler. Amen. Here's some things. Danny, would you help me with these? If you want some of these handouts to put in your workplace or whatever, or put on your car, just don't put them in front of your windshield so you can see where you're going. Hey, Pam, how you doing? Good to see you. All right, so I want us to begin tonight and just to get in our understanding and our awareness that this is an important meeting. You know, we get familiar with people we come sometimes, and that's good because we know them and we love them more all the time. But it goes deeper than that. They're coming with something that we need. They're coming with something this town needs, this area needs. They're coming with the Word of God and with the spirit of joy and laughter. And, buddy, we sure need some of that. So let's be praying for this, for them. Blaine and Christine, Jake will be here, Big Jake, Randy and Sandy, and another gentleman that's going to play something else. He's probably been here before. I just can't remember his name right now. But anyway, it's going to be a great, great time. Thank you, sir. And Danny, just put those on the table back there if you don't mind. They'll be here for Sunday. So anyway, prayerfully pray. Does that make any sense at all for this meeting? And it is important. Let's don't be look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be familiar. The next time you see me, you may not know me. Because I'm not familiar. That's pretty corny. But anyway, we won't forget it. All right, let's see. Prayer request sheets are going around. And how are y'all feeling? Better? Right. Finally got back to work. You just can't get good help anymore, can you? Prayer request sheets are going around. Who's got some good news? Carol. Yeah.
Was taken to New Albany Hospital, and from New Albany they transported her to Oxford. I just received a text message from her. She was in AFib. They went in and they did what they shocked her heart.
Yeah.
She says, had procedure done, got my heart slowed down. They said, I'm good. I'm in a private room, no more ICU.
Well, Well, praise God. Thank God for healing and hope. Amen. Praise Jesus. Travis, you get fixed up? Okay. There's a slight charge on all that. Net can pay. Cornbread, peas, chicken. All right. Who else got good news? Age before beauty. Danny? Go, Danny. Go, Danny. Go. Go, Danny. Go. Who is your wife? Ben. Okay. That's your wife. Yeah. Wow. 12 pair. Now that's a blessing, buddy. You put the price on that, that's about $300 or more. Now what size do you wear?
32, 32.
Well, that's what I have on. So at Christmas, you can just send me a pair of those for Christmas present. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's cool, isn't it? Why is it that some pair of pants have to be 34s and others have to be 32s? I don't get it. Look, I got to make them all the same size. Praise God. Okay, Virgil. Shop going up in there today. Boop, boop, boop. Do we have a date anywhere in the future that's going to be completed or just... You're a smart man. Do not put a deadline on that kind of stuff. But it'll be up quick. And it'll be just right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Judy. Tomorrow's Miss Cora's birthday. Boom, boom. All right. Well, happy birthday to you, ma'am. 29 again. 79. Are you really? 79. You look 29. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow, that's good news, isn't it? Praise God. Praise God. Who else has some good news? He's been, your brother's been clean a week. Everybody needs it. Okay.
There's this homeless man in Houston. And I had gave him a ride, and I knew he didn't have no home. So I gave him a ride one day and bought him some drink.
Yeah.
We seen him today, and my brother offered him a place to live. But as soon as my brother went around there, he said, do you know where some dope's at? And my brother said, hey, I'm in recovery. He said, I can't do it.
That's a big step. Yeah. That was a test of his faith. And he passed it. And we're going to pray right now. He continues to pass it. Amen.
Yes.
Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
That T
is delivered.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Who else? Am I got any good news? Really? Tomorrow at 4:30. We're in the house. Well, Granny, can you count up to two?
Big Mama.
Big Mama?
Big Mama.
Somehow or another, that just fits. Don't y'all think? Praise God. All right. Okay. Anyone else? Sarah Beth, what's going on, girl? She can read. Let's give her a great hand clap.
Yeah.
Yay. Sarah Beth can read. That's a good deal. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't ask her any questions about the Bible either because she'll show you up. She's smarter than we are. She's got them all figured out. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Come on, brag on your girl. Is that sort of like you were at that age, Peggy? Peggy said she was born knowing it all. We all said amen. Praise God. Keith, you're in our prayers, my friend. Praise God. You know, somebody says that. Well, no. Anyway. Anyone else? Got some good news? I got some good news as far as Larry Tackett is concerned. They put an artificial heart valve in his aorta yesterday, aorta valve, and kept him overnight in ICU. He's in a room today, coming home tomorrow. I haven't heard anything different. So, praise God. He did great. Did great. That whole procedure, it took him longer to get him back, get him asleep and get ready and do what little other little things they had to do. The actual procedure, the way I understood it, I mean, I'm sitting there, and the girl came out, and they called, said, hey, we're fixing to start, do the procedure. It wasn't 20 minutes. They had that valve in there and out. So, praise God. They went in, you know, through the artery. He didn't have to be cut, all that kind of stuff. So, isn't that great news?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We'll have to get him a stick that it's not... It's going to be fiberglass or something. He's going to be running so fast, he might break that wooden stick he's got. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else? Who's up there? Who is that woman? Go ahead, baby. You got a good report from the doctor? Well, that's great news, baby. You good all over? All right. Praise God. Andy said, yay. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you three up there. Y'all the best. Thank you. Jeanette. Sonia has lost 95 pounds. I want a picture. Can you get a picture sometime? And she's not through yet. Is that right?
Wow.
What about that, Larry? Isn't that awesome? Wow. Wow. Glory to God. You tell her. We love her and we're so very proud of her. I mean, Travis, make sure she does that, okay? I'll call you and remind you. All right. Let's see. Anyone else? Okie dokie. Andy, you got some music up there? Okay, we're going to pray, and we're going to praise the Lord and worship Him because He deserves to be praised. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to this part of the service tonight, Lord God, we want to lift up our praise to You. Lord God, Your word says that we cannot please You except by faith. Well, also, it's like this. We can't praise without faith. And faith will produce praise in our lives. So, Lord, we do praise You tonight. And when we're praising You, our faith just soars. And that is a good way to get out of depression. We just thank You, Lord God, and praise You for all that You are and all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Said above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Of Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Of Him there's no other. Everybody say, Jesus is the way. Corner of your mind, traces of discouragement, real peace you cannot find. distractions of your old life seem to face you every day. I came from Cincinnati to tell you Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Lift your hands and say with me, nothing, there's no one. Jesus, Jesus is the way. I'm convinced that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Nothing, there's no one. Jesus is the way. Some of you have mountains you think you'll never climb. Sky is dark and cloudy. You say, Brother Blaine, will the sun ever shine? In case you do not know, God's word is still true. Anything He promised me, He will do for you. Jesus is the answer. Everybody say, away. Yes, I know that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And the love in there's no other. Jesus is the way, truth and life.
Jesus is the way.
Everybody say it.
Jesus is the way.
Praise God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Andy. Great song. Jesus is the way. You ever get lost? Anybody ever gotten lost? Yeah, we got lost. Hallelujah. If you don't ever get lost, ride with Carolyn. Carolyn keeps you on the right, straight and narrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach your word. We give you honor and praise and glory. Lord God, we do appreciate you so much and what you do for us. Lord God, it's amazing what's happening around this world for the glory of God. And we give you praise for this. In the name of Jesus, everybody said amen. Anybody been watching the Victory Thon? Ooh, baby. got a text from Wanda. She said, "My goodness, they're talking all about the Macedonian call." I said, "I know it. They've been around. I've been over that all week long, and then with other things too, it just falling right into place." And it's good to know that we're on target with the Holy Spirit. And amen. Talking about angels, I'm telling you, it's just been really, really wild. So anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6, Karen. This was said on a victory thon. It's not original to me. I don't have many original thoughts, and y'all should say amen. A stingy spirit will shut down a move of God. It's the generosity. They're talking about today. They asked, I think it was Mark Hankins. Someone asked Brother Hagin years ago, if you were picking out a leader for your church or someone, what would be the one thing you look for? He said, "I need a person that's generous." Because if you don't let go, like the guy said the other night, he said, "A seed, if it doesn't leave your hand, when it leaves your hand, it never leaves you." So, praise God. Isn't that great stuff? But anyway, so look at your neighbor and say, "I know you're generous. And so am I." Amen. God gives us seed to sow. Then verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound." Now, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty big stuff right there. Don't you think? God is able to make all grace abound. That means favor. That means his ability in you to do what you can't do on your own. Grace abound in your life. God is able to do that. Amen? Okay. "That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Verse 10. "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." I just wanted to read that by the Holy Spirit that we grasp. That's a scripture we read a lot and we know, but yet we don't know. And is that way? That's the way the Bible is. We think we have the Bible figured out, and it's just a little bit bigger and a little bit deeper than we ever thought it could be. But who is supplying the seed for us? God. And we have seed to hold on to, and no, we have it to give. And as we give, it expands the kingdom of God, and expands and increases you. Amen? So when we sow our seeds, lots of times Diane would say, "Name your seed." And that's fine. You know, name it for increase. Name it for whatever it is that you need in your life. Sow a seed. Whatever God tells you, whatever you have, sow that seed and watch God produce a miracle in your life. So we know that, and we do that, do we not? Amen. So anyway, now let's go in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Now, we've been all around Philippians and Macedonia call for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And tonight, something a little bit different. We might not have known is that we haven't touched chapter 1 of Philippians. But chapter 4 talks a lot about, "But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul writes that in there to the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi was where the jail was. The earthquake came. And it's in Macedonia. And Paul had the vision from the man from Macedonia saying, "Come over here and help us." So he endeavors to leave immediately and go over there. He makes his way to Philippi. You know the story. They get thrown into the prison, into the jail. And they're in stocks and chains. And God sends an earthquake when they begin to praise God and give thanks after being beaten almost to death. God sent an earthquake. A good earthquake, it says. Everyone's bands were loosed. All chains were removed. They were free to go. But they didn't leave the jail. That's important. They were there for God's glory. And Paul said to the jailer, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're not going anywhere. And then the jailer said this, "What must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household shall be saved." How many of us are standing on that scripture for our families? That ought to include our church family as well. Amen. So we stand on that scripture. What if Paul had gotten the vision and not gone? We wouldn't be reading about Philippi tonight. The jailer, all that would have just been, we would have never known. That history would have just been wiped out and lost for eternity. But because of Paul's obedience and the willing to go and to sow seed, and the seed he sowed was the Word of God. And Jesus said, this is the parable that by all parables you'll understand this. The sower sows the seed. He sows the Word of God. Now the best thing that we can do is sow the Word of God into anybody's life, because that's what will change them. I mean, you can put a Band-Aid on this and you can do that, but the Word of God in their heart changes everything. Then their faith is able to obtain what they need, and our faith with them can cause great, great things to happen. Amen? So, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace. That's good news. From God our Father and from Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, Paul's prayer for the Philippians. We can apply this to us tonight. Amen? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, you know, do we always give thanks for everybody we talk about or we remember? Probably not. But the reason he's doing it, because these people have met his needs, helped him, joined in partnership with him to further the gospel. Amen. So that's our mission on the earth, is to go the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Of course, we can't all go, but we can all send. We all have seed to sow and do great things like that. Amen. So it's exciting to know that when we sow a seed to another ministry, wherever they go, that seed's going and fruit's coming back to you and to me, because we're partnered with them. Everybody say partnered. Partner. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, partner. Howdy. Howdy, partner. Okay. Verse 3, again, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Wouldn't you like to live your life that every time somebody thought about you, they thought good things? I think y'all do a pretty good job. Every time I think about you, I think of good things. Well, maybe about one or two of you. But you know, just kidding. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request for joy. Amen. Verse 5. For your fellowship, and the word fellowship there means partnership. If you want to write in your Bible, that's a good little place to put something. Your fellowship in the gospel, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So they have continuously partnered with Paul. That's a good person to partner with, don't you think? Well, we can partner with the Lord. We can partner with so-and-so. We're getting the gospel out there. Amen. Amen. Are y'all excited as I am? Yes, you are. Punch your neighbor and say, you should have heard that. We are partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's just camp there for a second. Let's read it again. Being confident, Paul writes, of this very thing. He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of the Lord comes. Now, I don't know how you feel sometimes. I guess we all have our moments And we just think, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, or this is not working out like I thought, and are we going to do this? You have a promise right here. That what God has begun in your life, He will perform it. And there's other scriptures to back that up. Jeremiah, He hadn't forgot about you. God hadn't forgot about you, His plan for you, and it's going to turn out good. Amen. Let's count on that. That would do you good, because some days you just don't know how this thing all will turn out, right? Well, go back to the scripture. Your faith will soar as you read the scripture and say, my God's got me. It says right there, He's going to perform His word in me until Jesus comes back. And then it don't matter, because we're going to be together. And He hadn't forgot about me. Now, you know, we're so blessed to have our church. We're so blessed to have family and friends and live where we live. And probably everybody here, you know, people don't forget about us. They love us. But I promise you, there are people on this planet tonight, probably some ministers and their wives and kids and some, and it doesn't have to be in a foreign country. We don't even know how to pronounce their name. It could be somewhere in Mississippi. And they're trying to preach the gospel. They're preaching the gospel. And it's just like nothing's happening. And it's easy to say, God, where'd you go? I thought you called me here. That's why we need to pray one for another. That's why they need to get back in the Bible, and we need to remind ourselves that Paul is confident that what God began in us, He's going to perform it to the end. Amen? And it's because they partnered with Him in the beginning, and they partnered all the way through. Amen. Philippians chapter 1 was not written in chapters. It was one letter. It helps our perspective, because when we read chapter 1 and then we're going to read chapter 4, it seems like, well, that's a big difference. That's a whole different set of rules. No, it's one letter. It's the same spirit of love and illumination and revelation in the first verse in chapter 1 as in the last verse of chapter 4. We need to understand that the Spirit of the Lord teach us and lead us. This is by the same grace. It's by the same Spirit that He's writing in chapter 1 as He's writing in chapter 4. Okay? Verse 7. Even as it is meet or right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds. Now, when he's writing this, he's in prison in Rome. Both in bonds and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. Wouldn't you like to be a partaker of Paul's grace? What does that mean? Because you've partnered, because we've partnered, whatever anybody we partner with accomplishes out here in the world, whatever they accomplish, you get part of it. You get equal share. Praise God, it makes me want to run. Because people are doing great things in advance, and we're giving to them, we're helping them. Hallelujah. When we stand before the Lord, when they get blessed, we get blessed. And that principle was established when David and his men came home to, was it Ziklag? And that's where his family was, where they were living. And all the families were gone. Everything's burned. Everything was stolen. Everything's gone. They've been out doing what soldiers do. And they were very depressed and upset at David. And David sat down and he said, Lord, do I pursue or not? I like God's attitude. He said, pursue. I'm thoroughly convinced that if David had been the only one that got on his horse and left, he'd have got them all back. Because even with 400 of men, angels were with them. So here they go. And they're going after the people that stole their families to get their families back and all the goods back. Well, they get to the place there, and some of the men said, we can't go any further. We are exhausted. So they stay there. They stayed behind. We're staying behind tonight while somebody that we're supporting is on a foreign field somewhere or in a church somewhere in this country. Whatever. Amen? So they stayed behind. They went on. And, of course, they captured, got everything back. Everything was just restored totally. and they get back to the river, and they had all the spoils with them. And David said, disperse the spoils equally. And some of the men said, that's not right. We did all the work. They stayed behind. Now, this is a law that was placed into the spirit realm at this point. Paul and David said, no. Everybody gets an equal share. They're with us. They stay behind, but they're with us. We fought battles before. Amen? So that's how this principle works, and that's where that began, this partnership. Because when we partner, we get the spoils equally. We get the blessings equally, okay? And we get the blessings of what? We partner into Paul's grace, his favor, and the ability of God to do in him what he couldn't do himself. Right. And when people partner with us, they get the same thing too. So, it's good to come to church. It's good to sow seed into the church because we all partner together and we all give it to the Lord, right? Okay. Now let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, 1. Here we go. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, of any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or inward mercies and love, tender love and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded. Now listen to this. Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's just good sense. But it doesn't always happen, right? Verse 4. Look not with every man his own things, but every man also the things of others. Verse 5. This is important. Let this mind be in you. Now I want you to do something real important. I'm going to look at you too. Y'all going to look at me. Y'all look at somebody beside yourself. And we're going to point at each other, okay? All right. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Got it? This is how we're supposed to think. This is the mind of Christ. Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, talking about Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, boys and girls. We've got to take a little step up of faith right here. Because we always thought about, well, Paul, you know, he thinks like that. And of course, Jesus thought it not robbery to think he's equal with God. Paul says, we're supposed to think like that. That's just what it says. Have this mind in you. Who's you? Me. You, what kind of mind? Got to step up, thinking that we are equal in faith, in righteousness. Not that we are God. No, don't ever go there. But we're to think like this because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. He does the works and supplies the power, but you and I are the conduit that he flows through. And if we don't think right, we're not going to act right, and we're not going to be right, and we can't let, and people won't get healed when you lay hands on them. People won't, you know, things just won't work right in the gospel unless we think like this. Who thought it not being robbery to be equal with God. Now, who's in you? Holy Ghost. Who is he? Casper? No. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of God. He is in you. Your body is just a hunk of dirt. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost till it gets glorified. I can't wait for my glorified body. Hallelujah. I'm going to run so fast. I'm not going to hurt. Hallelujah. I'm going to jump tall buildings with a single bound. I'm going to be faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Sound like Superman to me. You want to see my t-shirt? Got to ask. Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with you. Let's go to verse 7. My Bible's upside down. But made of himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant that was made in the likeness of men. Let's go back to verse 5. We just need to nail it down tonight. Okay? How am I supposed to think? How am I supposed to react to the promises of God? He says to go to the world and do these things. I'm not worthy. I'm not able. Well, we're thinking wrong. Everybody say, stinking thinking. Larry, you ever had any stinking thinking? Charlie, you can answer. Yeah, we do. What's stinking thinking? Anything that's not full of faith. I'm not going to make it. I ain't no count. I don't know what to do. God won't do that for me. Well, we're thinking totally wrong. We're thinking like religion tells us. We're thinking about the world tells us. We're looking in the mirror saying all these faults and all these things. Let me tell you something. You've been bought and paid for. You don't belong to you anymore. We're trapped in a flesh body that, well, it is what it is. But the spirit man, we belong to God. And we think in the spirit. And our minds are renewed on the word of God that we may prove was a good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We prove it by having the mind of Christ. Well, how can I get the mind of Christ? Duh. It's all in the book. Just read the book. Faith, the word will renew your mind. Amen? I'm going to say he's preaching really good. We're about to take up an offering. I'm going to give the biggest part. You didn't say a word. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Let this mind be in you. Everybody say, let this mind be in me. I'm going to think like this. I'm going to think like Jesus. Come on. Who thought it not robbery to think he's equal with God. Well, now, you know, it's pretty plain, but we get so balled up with the fact that we let religion steal the power. We're not religious. We're born again. We have a life of God. We're the righteousness of God. We are told to go in his name to cast out devils. Well, now, he told us that in Mark 16 and a lot of other things to do. What? In the name of Jesus. Everybody with me now so far? Okay. Well, unless we're thinking right and thinking that that will work and that we can do this on God's behalf, I have the power of attorney and so do you to use the name of Jesus anywhere, anytime we need to use it. What does that mean? You're thinking like Jesus. You can do what Jesus did. You can do business for Jesus. You're an agent for God. You have the ability and the call and the sanction by God to go and to do the things Jesus did and greater things. Well, I just don't know, you know, about this stuff. We've got to start thinking like Jesus. Amen? And if we think like it, then we have the permission to act like it, to do the things he did and even greater things, right? We got to change our thinker. Get the word of God in it. Understand that it's okay. Everybody say it's okay. It's okay to think like Jesus. It's okay to do business for God because he saved me and called me to do it. And in fact, he lives in me. I'm telling you, when we step up on this step and we begin to exercise in that, your confidence is going to go out the roof because you're not just somewhere on the totem pole thinking like you're the little toe on the body of Christ. It don't matter if you're the little toe or the right finger or the elbow, whatever. You still have the name of Jesus. And it says that you're still far above all principality and power. Every name that's named, not only in this world, the world to come. Let me tell you something. You are somebody. You're somebody loaded for bear for the word of God and for God's sake. And praise be to God, I am determined to go to the world and preach the gospel. What about y'all? Y'all want to go with me? Well, let's partner. Get the offering plate. Let's partner. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, we are partnered. Yes, we are. We are partnered together to do what God's called us to do. And we must start thinking like God asked us to do, tells us to do, And Paul plainly says to the church at Philippi, was the church at Philippi have big buildings and lots of money and lots of things? No, very poor on the outside. But they, chapter 4, chapter 4, let's just start with verse 15. Because when we read verse 15, he says, "Now ye Philippians." Now that's the same group we've been reading about in chapter 1. Now they're in chapter 4. But it's all one long letter. "Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church," everybody say no church, "communicated." That word communicated means fellowship, which means partnership with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Now, when we read this whole thing in chapter 4 and the whole book of Philippians, we're going to see, and this is the mindset that we get because of the way it's written and us thinking naturally, that this poor little old church, they didn't have much, but what they had, they gave. I would say, yes. That's exactly what he said. But he says this. No church. Ever say no church. No church. Just read it with me. No church partnered with me as concerning giving. So they received too. Oh, how are they going to receive? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Let me tell you something about those people in Philippi. They weren't fancy. But they had the stuff. And they did this from day one till Paul had his head cut off, I guess. They were very powerful in the spirit. They had seed that God would give them to sow. Why would God give seed to you if you're too stingy to give it? Now, we're not stingy here. But I want to be more generous. Amen? I would say more generous. God loves a cheerful giver, a generous giver, a happy giver. Some of y'all will be singing coming down the aisle Sunday morning. We'll let you do that. Now, you Philippians know this also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, when was that? When he saw that vision. No church communicated with me as concerning giving, and receiving. But you only. That's verse 15. Okay. Everybody still with me? Everybody still breathing? Okay. Verse 17, Carol. Karen, excuse me. Carol. Carol's down here. Verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So they have an account in heaven. They got a heavenly bank account. Full. Glory to God. And the more they give, the more they get back. Amen? That's what we preach every time we take up an offering. Give and you shall get back. Good measure. Press down. Shake and get a run over. We know all these scriptures. But what we want to get to is this climax right here. We want God's best. Now, I preached this about a week or so ago. And you know, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Billy Brim backed me up on this because God had shown this to me about 3 weeks ago. I was scared to preach it. A little bit. Sometimes you get like that, you know. I said, "Oh, that's out there." But God just—he dropped this in my heart, and she backed up the other night on the telephone. "But my God, this everybody, every Christian, every charismatic knows this one, front one and backward. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and I ain't doing squat." Well, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to get the blessings. Only when you do what the church of Philippi did will you get the blessings. Because it's right connected, all one letter, all written to them. Because you did well, nobody gave but you concerning giving and receiving. You gave when you didn't have it to give. You put out the effort. You did this. You did that. You loved God. You loved giving. And that's God's heart. Then Paul says through his relationship with the Lord, but my God. Can you say my God? Do you know your God? Yeah. But my God shall supply all your need. He didn't say your need, the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, Ephesians, and all those. No, he didn't say that. He said your need. And Billy Graham, in front of a million people or more, said, if you're not doing what the Philippians do or did, you will not get this scripture right here. I said, yes. We got to see that. And it is imperative and important and vital that we do see it, because for us to get to the next level. Because when Jesus comes back, and if it's a Wednesday night, I want every seat full. Amen? Don't y'all? Up there, down here. I want him to see us on fire. He's coming back after a church that's glorious, without spot and without blemish. And until we get to the point where we think like Jesus, have his mindset. His mindset is never on himself, always on others. Meeting their needs, loving them, and causing good and great things to happen. To bring revelation and to give eternal life to people. That's what we're on the earth for. You're not on the earth. Keith, as much as I love you being a policeman, and thank God we have you, that's not your first job. Your first job is to be a man of God, to go this world. And you all do a good job. And we do have that mindset. But we can get better. Amen? My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Because we give. We partner. Amen. I want to partner more. I want to see the world saved. I want to see. I can't get that vision out of my heart, that little boy. He can come now. He has a jet. He's on TV. I shared that with Tracy, and we both cried. We talked about it again, we both cried. Because not only is a jet involved, but he's going to be on TV. And you know what's going to happen the day we get to heaven? Just before we eat, ask up for a lamp. On that day, the awards and rewards are handed out. Tracy Harris. Now I'm just using, he is the primary one of our, he is our pastor. He's who we support and you support. He's here a lot. But there are others. Jerry Savelle. Our church, you partner with him, have partnered with him. Tracy Harris. Jerry Savelle. Kenneth Copeland, or whoever you may be given. Would y'all step forward, please? Here they come. Now, I'm going to show you all the blessings that you're going to receive. And it's going to be huge. All you people that ever gave anything to these ministries, y'all come on up too. You're going to get the same reward. Now, if you've ever given to Billy Graham, my God, it's going to be a huge crowd up there. Amen? And you're going to be smack dab in the middle of it. But if you sit in your house and stingy with your money, stingy with your love, you wouldn't get to jail on these folks. Now, you're going to be in heaven. But wouldn't you like to be with them? Wouldn't you like to make God proud? I say, God, I couldn't do it all. And we need to understand, no one person can do it all. That's why Jesus had disciples. But we're a part of the family of God. What an awesome opportunity we have to make this scripture come true, where I can think about me, I can think about you. And when I think about you and when I remember you, I pray with great joy, all requests be filled. And I know, and I say it with all confidence, because you have partnered and you've given. You come on Wednesday nights. You come on Sunday nights. You come Sunday morning. You pray. You serve. Go. Some of you even keep the nursery. Glory to God. Don't tell me that's going to be way down the list when you get to heaven. Just saying. But until that day does come, we are up there all together. We have needs. Who in the world is going to supply our needs? Bertha, who's going to supply our needs? I mean, my needs are bigger than my paycheck. What about y'all? I mean, you know, needs, and that includes wants. Amen. That's how God wants us to live. Not depending on a paycheck, depending on Him. He's bigger than your paycheck. And everybody say, thank God. You give, and He'll show you how big He is. And you all know that. How many of us are better off tonight because we give to the Lord? Of course, we're going to heaven. That's the mainest thing, as we could say. But with that, if you've been sozoed, if you've been saved, all this other stuff is in the package. Might as well claim it. Get a hold of it. And let your God supply all your need according to His riches, not man's, in glory. Amen. We have an exciting future, but we have to stay plugged in, partnered, joined together. And we have to think right. We have to think like Jesus thought. God loves me. I love Him. And He's told me to take the name of Jesus and go save the world. Let's just do it. Won't to? That used to be a joke around a long time ago. Won't to? Won't to? Y'all want to? Yeah, we want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Judy, you want me to share anything about you? Y'all, you want to share it? Yeah, let's get her a microphone. Before we close and have prayer, y'all, some of you may know, some may probably don't know this, but anyway, this family needs our prayers tonight and in the days ahead.
Some of you were here almost 2 years ago when my niece's husband got killed on a motorcycle. Well, she was murdered yesterday. This is Jeanette's oldest daughter.
That's your sister.
Jeanette is my sister, my baby sister. And her oldest daughter was murdered. We don't know really any details yet. Of course, they're investigating and all this. But just pray. Just pray.
Yeah. She was in North Carolina.
North Carolina. As far as we know, they are going to bring her home to us. And, you know, we don't know how long that'll be because they're doing an autopsy and all of these things that they have to do. But pray especially for Mama.
Yeah.
Please. Please. Amen. Just pray for my Mama. And for Jeanette. Yep. All of them.
Yep. Praise God. Yeah, we're going to pray right now. But if any family knows how to have victory over this, it's this family. God has brought them through a lot of stuff. And life is not fair.
The eternal is beautiful.
The eternal is beautiful. We live under plan B. plan A is in our future, where everything is perfect.
Amen.
So, those of you that would like to, especially you ladies, just come up here and hug Miss Cora or sit by her or whatever, and just keep her in your prayers. And the whole family, Jeanette, is she needs strengthening.
Yes, she does.
And
yes, she does.
You know, things happen, and God doesn't make these kind of things happen.
No.
But He's the one that can cause something good to happen from something bad. He can make this to be a defining moment in Jeanette's life.
Amen.
And the whole family.
Yes.
Amen.
As far as I know, Jeanette's kids have, unless it's when they were very small, they've never been in church. They were never raised in church. They need God.
They need God.
They need God.
We all need God. Father, we just agree with this prayer over here with Miss Cora and lift up this family to You. Lord, we ask that You cause something good to happen. Lord, for each individual in this blood family, and all of us that love and care about them, Lord God, may we all be strong for them and for each other.
Yes.
And pray for them, expecting, Lord, we're not praying because we're sympathetic. We're praying, Lord, with faith.
Yes.
And power.
Yes.
That God, You got the victory.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank You, ma'am.
God is our victory.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Always. Always. Are the prayer requests list out there, Verdell? Y'all see where those are? Somebody can bring those on up. We'll pray in those. Yes, I got his name on the list, but we'll pray for him.
Yeah.
Pete Harris went to the hospital today. His heart, because he's a walking major miracle. But his heart was, the EKG did not look good, and they're going to do a stress test and maybe some more things tomorrow. He's in Tupelo. So we want to have a special prayer for Pete, because he's one of our own. So, you know, guys, y'all just get around. Let's make a circle right here. Danny, come here, please, and get up here with Betty. And praise God. The household of faith. Not just a fancy saying. It's a powerful saying. The household of faith. When we pray in agreement, good things are going to happen. And I know Pete has a lot of faith. But I also know he's going through a scary situation here. But he's got faith. Or he would not be here with us today at all. But anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Pete to You. And as Betty stands in for her, for him, we pray, Lord God, that You do a great, mighty miracle in Pete. Cause his heart, Lord God, to be healed.
Yes, Lord.
Everything about it.
Yes.
Blood pressure, rhythm, rate, blood, all of it. Lord God, that it be healed. All his cardiovascular system to be clear of any blockage.
Yes.
Every valve to be good. Everything about it. And Lord God, ooh, thank You, Jesus. Right now, Lord God, by Your hand, we ask that You fix his heart. Yes. Cause him, Lord God, to have a long, healthy life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this and we agree.
Yes.
It's done.
Yes.
And we believe. And Lord, just like You told me the other day, and we learned more about it tonight, because we're supposed to think like Jesus. And when Jesus stood before Lazarus' tomb, He said, Father, I thank You that You always hear me.
Yes.
So, Lord, we know that You always hear our prayers.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we're confident and thankful that something good is going to happen. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise
His
God.
His sugar was 278.
We pray for his sugar as well.
Yeah.
Amen. He quit? Okay. Well, God's going to heal him inside out, top to bottom.
Oh, yes.
Okay, guys. Come up there. Where's my little list? Don't want to forget my little list. Is it up here? Yeah.
Right there.
Yep. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Lord, we have great men of God up here tonight. Lord, as we lay our hands on this list of names, precious people, and situations, and all, oh, glory to God. Father, we ask for your healing. We reach by faith into the heavens. And we take hold of everything these people need. And Lord God, we release them into their lives. They be healed and whole and well. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, your word says in Psalms 91 that you will deliver us from our trouble. So Lord, we thank you that we'll be no more troubled, but we'll be free. I pray that prayer tonight for our friend A.D. Blunt. Lord, his blood pressure out of sight, or was. Lord God, I thank you that it's now whole and well, and he's free of all this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you, man. Thank
amen,
you.
Amen, bro.
Amen, dude.
All right. Tell somebody love them before you go.